It's the sweet spot here in Oxnard, California for Cowboys training camp. Sean Bass, David Mino, but as you can hear, we're all having fun. Pretty much everyone is here.
I think
see
we're
George.
Already set at punter, but if he wants to come in and be a camp body, that'll be okay.
And the off-air conversation was about Herman Munster potentially being a special teams player for the Cowboys.
Pretty much everybody is here except for Bob, and we are here because we are here to have a Cartoon Network roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
So just talk about our favorite cartoons for about an hour.
Okay, so go ahead.
Dexter's Laboratory guy.
I will order you to be killed by the football guys if you talk cartoons.
What cartoon are you talking about, by the way? What did you ask him?
I asked Jerry if he was aware that he was in a new cartoon.
I know. What is it, though?
It's called Keeping Up with the Joneses, and it's about this family that lives right next door to Jerry.
Gordo's a part of it.
Yeah. So I do the voice of fake Jerry.
So this was
But I was wondering if he was approached.
Boy, that's he was the approached wrestling to move do, you just did.
Oh, it gets worse. I then asked him if he was aware of fake Jerry on the ticket.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was. Did you hear the answer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We did.
We knew that.
Yeah. It was all about stuff but we were talking about on the air.
But it is
morning.
Only your question, Gordon, that gets drowned out by an airplane.
By
this. It's so perfect.
I need to. I couldn't hear you.
It was the scheduled flyover that Brad Chan had ordered.
You know the weird thing about
it. Remote control hits the button.
I told Gordo afterwards. The weird thing about it, I don't think Jerry put two and two together that the guy asking him the question was the guy who does fake Jerry.
No,
I don't think
he had no idea.
No, he was completely unaware.
I do think that if he would have said, you know what, I don't like that son of a bitch who does that anyway.
That was the risk I was running. Was that he could have said, I've heard it and it is very derogatorily and we don't like it.
Very risky.
And it's hurt my family a whole bunch.
See, I think he did. I think he did know it was you, because then he darted his eyes over at me.
Yeah, he
and
did.
So I think
he may have put it together.
Yeah, I think he put it together.
But it's hard to tell.
But after all the years of doing it and listening to it, the one thing he gets out of it that he would mention
is that
Jerry
Jr. gets a hard time.
That he has to be fed his pudding in the morning before he goes to school. That's what he gets out of it. That's so incredible.
But in fairness, the door was wide open for you to ask that.
Sure, we're talking Lawman, Landman, whatever.
Jerry three times referenced his own documentary coming up on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, boy, he hit that pretty hard, didn't he?
So they're very into the Hollywood aspect of Hollywood covering the Jones family. So, yeah, I don't think I was out of bounds.
No, you weren't out of bounds at all.
And even if I was, what's Brad Sham going to do about it?
Okay. White night.
Ooh. Yeah.
White night. Yeah. At the Bomb Factory.
He could get back to football.
Hey, we move it
talk
back.
About a linebacker.
As we talked about Jack Sanborn.
Who watches football, also watches cartoons.
Can you imagine the crowd we'd have at fight night for Gordo versus Brad?
Has he had another hell of an offseason, Brad?
That
squared away?
Was last year. Was that last year the gong?
That was
or
2 years
year
ago when the gong happened.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunate moment.
So 8 minutes and 6 seconds is all it took to have new head coach Brian Schottenheimer talk at the state of the team. I set the over under, 10:15, 10:20? Usually 12, 13 minutes would go by before McCarthy would speak. So
it's ridiculous.
Maybe things are changing around here.
He has more control.
And I notice it seems like they have a little bit of a rule to where after Shoddy speaks, they never call him the next person until Jerry's had a chance to give the last word. I always notice that they pause and then Jerry will usually either jump in, or if he doesn't jump in, then they'll go to the next questioner.
You know what I'm a little shocked about is that we didn't get the intro. It went straight to question. And Cali.
He
didn't say anything to lead up or
really weird.
Anything.
I wonder why.
I don't know. It still lasted about an hour, even without the introduction and him saying something at the very beginning. We thought that was a little strange.
We got it towards the middle or towards the end when he talked about he could be anywhere in the world.
Right.
He chooses to be here, and he's paid a lot in his mind to be here, and there's no place he'd rather be. We get that every year, but you're right. Usually it's at the outset.
I felt that the one question that was going to derail the whole thing a bit was Deucey's about Deucey. The GM.
That was a good question.
That was kind of a left cross when he wasn't expecting
it. And he didn't hear that one at the beginning either.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Deucey question is I swear Deucey had to ask it like three times. Mm-hmm.
And Ducey kept getting frustrated when he had to restate it, and it kept getting more curt as he went along, to where when Jerry finally hears it, is, when are you going to fire yourself as GM?
Yeah. I was a little surprised that Jerry's answer was, yes, I've considered it in brief moments.
No kidding.
I assumed he never considered
it. Yeah.
Well, he did say fractions
of
a second.
Yeah.
Fractions of a second is what he's talking
about.
Pretty brief. And he was easily able to talk himself off that ledge.
Easily.
Did you like the play that Kalashaw ran, though? Like, buttering up with the landman? Like, oh, God, yeah. I just love you and layman. Hey, are you embarrassed in the last 30 years?
But about the last 30 years.
That's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. That's a Hall of Famer for you. He knows how to couch it.
I like them taking shots at Diggs and Steele.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
That's probably the biggest newsworthy thing that came out of that.
He just goes, frankly, shouldn't we have waited on them? And he said their names. Like, they suck. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have signed them.
Okay, was it my imagination, or did Jerry acknowledge Veruca a little bit here?
The two daughters?
Two daughters?
When he said his sister. When he talked about Steven, he said, and his sister here, and his guy, other sister.
He did, but there's no
way. Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yes.
He was talking about Jerry Jr.
He had to be.
You think he meant brother? Mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
maybe
think
he
I
did.
And his sister and his other sister.
But we haven't seen Jerry Jr. in a while.
I don't know. It was just, it was weird.
I did think
maybe,
about it.
Maybe Jerry Jr. has had an off-season procedure.
I'm just saying. He did bring him up a bit.
That's J-E-R-I. How he breaks the news, his other sister.
That'd be so great.
So do you think
walks that, in a sundress.
Do you think,
oh, hey.
Kind of hot.
A little bit.
Yeah. So you think it's more likely that he will acknowledge Jerry Jr. as a sister before he acknowledges Veruca?
Yeah, he meant to say brother, I think.
I don't know, man.
A son who
I don't know. He may have been acknowledging it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so.
Not a chance.
Okay.
Ask him next year.
I'll ask him next time.
Like last year during State of the Game.
Just a Cartoon Network question.
But right
about
before,
your
right before the flyover. So you have to ask him like four different times.
Right, yeah.
I swear that flyover was about 3 minutes long.
What was going on?
Just like waiting. Like, hold on. Yeah. Let's wait for this plane to go by.
Yeah, we caught a plane in a holding
pattern. Hold on. It's just circling.
Jeez.
Thinking of burn off fuel.
Maybe it was Bob's plane.
I was going to say, it's Bob coming in.
And again.
Gordo, think about it this way. Jerry spent millions at a trial and days and days and days in Texarkana to not admit or mention the daughter, and now he's going to just randomly mention it here.
You get older, you have a change of heart. Maybe he just
now wants
to welcome her to the boozom of the Jones family.
The boozom.
Maybe she'll be in the suite with him this season. You know, the question I think needs to be asked, because I have not heard this, and I was going to ask it today, didn't get around to it, but the last 30 years, and we talked about this at the compound, about the next generation, the young generation that has not seen the Cowboys win. As a guy who was up there talking about how he's such a businessman and how he's referencing all the Netflix specials.
I've danced with the devil.
And I've danced with the devil.
The financial devil.
The financial devil and all that. It has to concern him that from, what do you want to put the age, 35 and younger?
Yeah.
35 and younger see the Cowboys as they never win.
Stupid.
Yeah. Ask your ticker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aldi, look at, yeah.
He has no.
My own kids. My own kids have moved on. They don't think the Cowboys are
great. We asked Steven that question. Was it last year? I asked Steven, what do you say to fans that are 35 and under? Because my brother's like that haven't seen you guys and have no recollection. And he basically just gave the Steven, well, you know, we want them
working
to believe in
it,
us, and we believe we're just as frustrated. And We want to believe, too.
All the research, the market research they do, it has to show them, man, we've got a problem here. Our younger generation kind of thinks we're a joke.
How much many people under the age of 35 are, like, spending money on Cowboys stuff?
That's a really good question.
Like, buying tickets.
I'd love to see the
stats. Buying gear.
And I feel like
it can't be that high.
This younger generation, I'm not saying we're just all loyal and stuff, but it feels like they're easily jump ship if you don't have some winning or some success around here and say, okay, well, I'm going to root for someone else because it's fun to win.
With the NBA being so popular amongst that generation and following players instead of teams, you're absolutely right. So,
you know what's easier than winning a Super Bowl is making a Netflix documentary.
Ooh.
Are we sure that's the purpose?
Yeah.
Hey, he was so, package.
He was so vague about the documentary. He's like, yeah, I just watched a documentary. Yep. The Cowboy, the one about you. Yeah, that has to be.
It is Shark Week. I was hoping he would dive into that a little bit.
And it's a trip to even go back and say every reference that he had of the past when he's talking about the success was Emmitt Smith. And as crazy as it sounds, you may have some people who will listen to this thing that went,
Absolutely.
Yeah. The guy from Dancing with the Stars?
Right.
Cooper Flagg never saw him in Smith.
You want to tell me about pork? And diamonds and cow poo poo.
Well, you're right, Davey, about it's easier to get a Netflix documentary because I think that was probably an inspiration of, hey, we got to relate to a young audience. Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They looked at the
America's
Jordan
Sweethearts is doing well. Yeah. Let's put the football.
Well, how versed were we in 1994? What happened to your mic?
That was my
Sean. Sean had to call.
Sean doesn't want me to talk.
That's enough for you, George.
Like, how aware were we of Eddie LeBaron? Because that's the same reference, basically, time-wise, you know, 94.
Yeah.
Talking to Eddie LeBaron.
That's
right. We didn't know anything. So these kids don't know.
Time.
I know, dude. It's forever. He doesn't care, though. Like, whatever question was thrown, he doesn't care. Because he'll always just point to the stadium, he'll point to the star, and that's it. Look at this place. And he'll look at me now.
And his net worth.
Yeah. Mm.
But all of that was built on the first 30 years.
Right.
Yep.
Where you won 5 Super Bowls, went to 8, 17 championship games. When's the last big playoff game that we all looked at as a high-leverage playoff game?
Well, the Dez catch, not catch was. Yeah. I mean, even some of the
Niners.
Niners, even if it was a wild card game.
Beating Brady. Yeah.
Okay.
But we forgot about that the next week because they lost to the 49ers.
And that was a 500 Tampa Bay team. And then, okay, so when's the last time you won one of those games? And it's been
30 years.
30 ago. Years.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
I was surprised that he went out of his way to rip Steele and Diggs. Like, that was, to me, that was the most noteworthy
moment. Very un-Jerry. Yeah.
They were talking about, I think his name is Michael Parson, according to
RG. Yeah, Michael Parson.
Dude.
So bad.
Michael Parson.
Let me tell you this, something I know for sure. When I sit across from Michael Parsons.
Can you imagine Jerry Krause calling him Micah Jordan?
God, that'd be great. Michael Jordan. Who is that?
Yeah, it does make you wonder their futures here.
Are they going to cut Diggs? After this year, 100%.
After this year, yeah.
Or trade?
This year? I don't know if they cut him this year.
After those comments,
man. They definitely regret that deal.
The value of getting rid of him after this year just makes sense. Because his dead cap next year is like $5 million, and they can save like 12 or 13 if they cut him. He'll do one more year, and they're done with him. I think that's obvious.
It's one thing for Diggs to be out right now and feel like that he can't trust the training staff, so he has to work out on his own. But Terrence Steele came back early from an ACL, and he hasn't been great, but he's also taken, strays in the press conference.
Terrence Steele. Yeah,
they're just kind of letting the sins of the past mess with their thinking about the future, and that's just not how the right thing to do it. Because he kept saying, you can't do everyone at the same time, and no one's asking him to do that. It's just you know exactly where the floor is and reworking that. You knew he was going to be a huge part of this team and what you wanted to do moving forward the second after that Chargers game. Remember the Chargers game where they had to put him on the defensive line because of injuries, and then he just raked in that game. It's like, oh, my gosh, this dude can rush the passer like that? They knew exactly that he was going to be the future. So all the stuff about, he could go get hit by a bus. Like, what are we saying here? To be such
a Dwayne Haskins reference?
And that just because we pay him doesn't mean he'll be here.
No.
Jeez, dude.
Point out how many games he missed.
To have someone who will brag consistently about his business and how he's done and what he's done in that world, this is the same exact thing. And it's just been a lot of misses here that you haven't turned around and tried to get those things right. I don't get it.
He did bring up the about the Parsons negotiations, and we do this, and it's somewhat unfair when we say, well, just get today's numbers, whether it's Watts or whoever. And as he said, well, that's not the number. Their numbers are still above that number
to
sign.
Yeah.
But I still think if you got in there and said last year, because Micah brought it up on that podcast. Undertaker's podcast. I thought I was going to get a deal done right after last year. If you would have went into his reps and said, we want to do a deal right now, what's it going to cost? I don't think it'd be 43.
No, it may be 40, 40? But then Miles 39? Garrett would be at that moment, at that number, and then the T.J. Watt would be at that.
Could have been at 38.
As soon as you signed it, he could have been the fourth or fifth highest non-paid quarterback in the league. Instead of when he does it now, he will be. And over the life of a contract, it's costing you more money.
And that slight cap relief could have helped in the offseason, or even when they try to go get dudes off the street now and can.
But then it's taken away from the fact that he just said it. When you have three, four guys making the majority of it, then that they keep referencing that, but you keep bringing it on yourself because you're waiting so long. Well,
and Bjork's, there was one thing he reiterated in the walk-off. I eavesdropped for a minute, and he said that he and Steven don't call agents. So they are not initiating any conversations with Micah's agents.
A weird flex.
They are waiting for the agents to come to them. They're sitting at the table waiting for them to be presented a deal. They're not doing anything proactive.
Do you think he meant that, or do you think he meant that his people talk to – don't they have lawyers that talk with them and are like go-betweens and give the messages from Micah's agent to Jerry and Steven?
Because Steven I talk to agents. Jerry doesn't. So technically when they're talking, well, I don't speak to agents, it's technically true, but we're talking about the team, not just you.
Yeah.
It's the whole communication with everyone.
Yeah.
But for some reason, man, he has the air in his chest and he wants to flex to you that
I don't talk to agents
and I don't even know his name. Like,
I make us go through a game of telephone before he gets to
Right, what are we doing here?
Even though the guy you just traded for who's going to help your offense potentially has the same agent. He knows who that guy is.
Mulligetta's gotten a lot out of a whole lot of people, and it's probably going to be the same exact way this time also.
All right, it's 227.
Do another one?
Sweet spot. Yeah, let's do another one. We do have Why Today Doesn't Suck with a hard line, but let's have more Cowboy Fun Roundtable from camp next on the 235 here on the Sweet Spot, live from Cowboys training camp in beautiful Oxnard, California. Monty producing this program. We have Ham at the helm. Kevin Landrum bringing you tickers at 10 and 50 past the hour, and we are in roundtable number two in the wake of the State of the Team press conference that lasted just about an hour earlier here today on the ticket. And we talked a lot in the off air about Herman Munster. I don't know how relevant that is to the 2025 team. But I was glad that Brian Schottenheimer spoke more than Mike McCarthy has, it feels like, in recent years. Maybe more questions for him, but say what you will about the Jones faction. I like, again, it's just words, but I like what I hear from Brian Schottenheimer.
I do, too. From day one, I have.
Yeah, he's a good communicator. Very good.
I just want to win one for those guys.
So badly.
Those guys.
A little bit.
I think Matt McLaren could do a shoddy.
Have to work on it, I guess.
Yeah, you, something about y'all's voices that are kind of similar.
He kind of sounds like John C. Riley.
Good question. Look the same a little bit.
Yeah.
Like we could be brothers, potentially.
Potentially?
Yeah. You don't say that. I like to make words up.
Not on my drum set.
And you both like to drink.
That's true, we do. We have tattoos.
And you guys like tattoos, yeah. Did anyone ask about his live, laugh, love tattoo on his arm?
And then he gets a gather on the other forearm.
Yeah, we said that those may be the new tattoos that he gets. Live, laugh, love. Instead of whatever was football,
is
family.
That, is that their all-in this year?
Faith, family, football.
There we go.
Yeah, live, laugh, love. Did he kind of take a backward slap at McCarthy there? With the slogan?
Yeah, he didn't
believe
that. No, we
don't have slogans for each training camp.
You compete every day.
That's stupid.
No, we don't have slogans. That's stupid. But we're going to play different games like wiffle ball and foosball every day. That's not stupid.
And competitive Nerf basketball in my office.
There is something to that, though. And he learned all that from Pete Carroll.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And co-host on the pregame show, David Newberry, was at USC. And he talked about how when Carroll was with the Trojans, that dude created weird competitions all the time, and it resonated with college players, and I would imagine it resonates with a goodly portion of the 60s.
Does it resonate if they're 1-4?
No.
Are they still playing?
Of course not.
Are they still going to play wiffle ball if it's okay?
They're having like mad ping pong tournaments in there.
Like, look, we're in the middle of the ping pong league. We got to finish out, guys.
No, it won't at that point, but maybe, you know, if you do a good job coaching, you won't be 1-4. I think he's in a tough spot because I do think he's saying the right things. I think he has a good offensive mind. I think what he's done with the coaching staff is good. I still know how good this team is, and his quarterback's best years are behind him. I don't know if it's going to translate to wins, especially this year.
And it's interesting when Jerry said something about he's got the finest, highest-paid athletes in sports on the team. That kind of made it seem like we've given him this, so we expect you to win, but also these guys that we're paying – he went out of his way multiple times to talk about the expectations of the guys he's paying.
like with showing up and being a part of that and being leadership and all that.
Yeah, at the offseason of 24, they did nothing for McCarthy. At least they went out of their way to.
They went all in last year.
Sign dudes.
Yeah.
They might not be great dudes, but at least you have volume.
Yeah, it's much better than what they did last year. As Bob talked about it, last year really was a wasted year. Mm-hmm. You didn't accomplish anything. You really didn't develop anybody.
He thought because he has this chef that's prepared the meal before that he can cook with whatever. And they set him up to fail, man. And especially when you had the expectation of it is championship game or this is done. Like, you knew from the beginning that wasn't going to happen. You set those high levels for yourself, and it was just doomed to fail from the jump.
Well, what's the expectation level now?
I don't think it's that. You have a brand new head coach. You'd be ridiculous to think that it's
that's kind of the same bunch.
Yeah.
I bet if they get to the playoffs, that would be enough for Jerry this year. Yeah. After last year, just get to the playoffs, even if they lose, because then he can sell, we're rebuilding. Right. We're back on course.
Yep.
It was pretty different when he said, because he didn't say all in today, he didn't say Super Bowl or bust, NFC Championship or bust. There was one time when he was talking about Dak, and he was talking about the health, and he says, you know, if we play, you know, our best football and surprise people and we win a Super Bowl or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of felt like a realistic expectation. Like, if you, you know, surprise everybody and you play really well, okay, you're going to go far. But he never said this is a Super Bowl team. He never said this is a team that's the best in the division.
He said to say that when Campo was here. We all knew that wasn't the case.
Yeah. He said today, I think we can be better than everybody thinks we're going to be.
Yeah.
So he knows expectations are low.
So his bar is probably what? Or topside 10 wins?
Yeah.
Like
if you're surprising people,
you
get 9 or 10 wins and make the playoffs, I think Jerry's happy.
I think playoffs is where they're thinking they should be, especially with what they're paying Dak. Your expectation with a quarterback like that should be playoffs.
Yeah.
And maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear the new defensive coordinator or new offensive coordinator referenced once.
Not one time.
No, no. We did not.
Which that's nope.
Well, that's because there were too many questions about Cartoon Network. That's
I know. There sure was.
Yeah, we needed more football questions.
Yes. Yeah, we could
get back to Jack Sanborn. Right.
Jerry did mention his mortality once again. How many years in a row has this been?
Yeah.
That's why I don't.
His own death.
That's why I think 10-7 doesn't cut it, because he does see the finish line with life. So I'm not buying that 10 wins and he's super excited. He's dying.
Whoa. Now, we don't know that.
We're all dying.
Breaking news.
I don't think that was topic one.
I mean, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, that's
what are you doing?
That's a tough one.
Donnie, are you okay?
Like he always does.
Are you all right, Donnie?
I'm fine.
Why Donnie? Definitely? Why Donnie, Dave?
We had to stop the car and pull over and say a prayer for you.
Brother.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Daddy.
I call Daddy. We got to
pray about that, brother.
All right, brother.
Is that what he'll say? He'll just gently put his arm around me and look at me and go.
Daddy's going to come up and comfort you on the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner. Guaranteed.
Yeah, right, brother.
I don't know, Daddy. I don't know if I am or not. Taking this pretty hard, man.
Okay, in all seriousness, though, isn't that one pretty sad, though? He was young, and he was beloved. Malcolm Jamal Warner was on a lot of shows other than The Cosby Show, even his guest star on, like, Community. He appeared on many episodes of that.
Yeah, but we all thought it was Theo on other shows. See, that's the curse of being on a huge show like
that.
But
he was likable.
No, he was.
He was likable in everything he was in.
He was pretty.
And what do you think of, Gordon, when you think of that name? What one scene?
You know what I'm going to say. Jamming on the one.
Jamming on the one.
Whatever reason that stuck with me.
Me too.
Jamming on the one. I think for me is the Gordon Gartrell shirt that he wanted to buy. But Denise made it for a huge date, and it was the worst thing he'd ever seen.
Poorly
she couldn't sew.
Done.
Yeah, that's a huge one. But yeah, man.
But yeah, Malcolm Jamal Warner slurred that, didn't I?
Yeah, he kind of did.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
It's a tough Lin-Manuel Miranda.
54.
Man.
Accidentally drowned while on vacation, family vacation in Costa Rica.
Like, did he get a riptide?
Yeah, he got caught in a riptide.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, man.
Do we know that?
Thanks, Gordon.
So, anyway, Jack Sanborn.
You ruined the press conference,
promos.
And now you ruined the round table. Way to go.
Yeah, put that in the promo for the Cowboys press conference.
You all right, brother?
Gordon ruined the press conference and the round table.
Anyway.
So you didn't have a follow-up question for Jerry about that?
I should have. Yeah, Jerry, how do you respond to the death of Malcolm Jamal Warner?
No doubt.
Shoddy, which episode of the Cosby Show are you going to show the team?
There is no way that he knew. All right, would you bet $1 million that Jerry did not know who Malcolm Jamal Warner was?
There's no way.
He doesn't know.
No way.
He was a
Davey,
he thinks he's an all-pro safety.
Yeah.
He had never heard of Van Halen.
With the Eagles.
Do we have a Jerry question?
So who's bigger, Van Halen or Malcolm Jamal Warner?
Van Halen.
That's what you think. In your world.
Van Halen.
In everybody's world.
Van Halen did jump.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sean, it was going to be
Malcolm Jamal Warner was Theo.
It was going to be. Have you ever met Malcolm Jamal Warner? But I can't really do that.
That's what it was going to be.
I got to come up with something else.
Has he ever watched The Cosby Show?
I bet he has. Yes.
80s.
Has he ever?
Jerry, this is your question. This is your question.
Has he ever Bill Cosby to drink?
Ask him. Ask Jerry, in his opinion, what is the worst thing Bill Cosby's ever done?
Okay.
Oh my gosh. What's wrong with you?
Well, Ghost Dad wasn't very good.
What if that's what he answers?
Yeah.
That'd be the greatest answer in the world. He just hates Ghost Dad. You know, I had him up on the pedestal, but that Ghost Dad.
But what about all the drugging and raping, Jerry?
No, I still say Ghost Dad.
Do you think when the kids were growing up, or maybe
Albert,
now with Jerry Jr., that Jerry watched cartoons?
Jerry
sat down on Saturday.
Yeah, every dad did.
Watch Fat Albert.
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry out doing deals. And
Jerry walk in.
I love it.
Now, that was a different time where the dads didn't do that as much. You know, they did their thing, and the mom raised the kids.
Yeah, my dad never watched cartoons with me.
Yeah, I don't recall my dad watching cartoons either.
But so I watched them with my kids. Still do.
Yeah, my dad watched cartoons with me. He loved Foghorn Leghorn.
Oh, man. He could.
He did?
Yeah, man.
Awesome. Yeah, I had to fess up. I had to fess up. Because on YouTube TV, it'll, like, if you watch something for 5 minutes, it's still up there, like, the next time you log in. It's like, do you want to continue watching or whatever? So one day, I started watching Phineas and Ferb, which is a kid's cartoon show. I was like, oh, Phineas and Ferb. I used to love this show when my kids were little or whatever. So I watched it for, like, 3 or 4 minutes, turned it off, and then Julie goes, have you been watching Phineas and Ferb?
Like, oh, yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I like my cartoons.
Bowling for Soup did the theme song to that.
Did they?
Yeah. They did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We watch Bluey without the kids all the time when it's on at night.
I've heard Bluey is awesome.
It's great. So
I've watched a couple episodes. It's good.
The dad is hilarious. They put enough jokes in for the parents. That's what makes it work.
Yeah.
Quick episodes. June's, is the kid on Bluey yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she loves Bluey. She's on about 20 different cartoons. They have such great selection compared to when we were kids. We only got Saturday morning, maybe a little bit weekday mornings before school. But now it's on demand, 5,000 different cartoons. You can watch any of them. So yeah, you got to kind of ride herd over that.
What season is she on in Game of Thrones?
4.
Okay.
Yeah. 4.
Right before the Red Wedding.
I think it's been a little much for a 3-year-old, but mostly okay.
What did she think of the Night King?
Yeah, she loves the mountain.
The mountain versus Viper.
Yeah.
He just crushes his head.
God, yeah, that was so great.
As soon as it's over, another one. Just gets excited. Hey.
Great. Papa, is that the guy from Last of Us?
It's a serious question, Gordo.
I've been watching that also. Oh my God.
Yeah.
When is
the television connoisseur?
When is the cartoon?
I don't know. I need to find out.
How could you not know?
I'll text the guy.
It's this fall, right?
Generic.
I thought he said it was going to be in the spring of next year, but maybe it's this fall.
Okay.
To capitalize on
that. At some point in the next year.
It just involves a text, which has, that's just a lot of work for me.
Incredible.
I have to work myself up, get the courage to text people.
It's his social anxiety. Don't judge
me. I know
him.
Yeah,
I'm
you
not,
can't judge
I'm
me.
I'm just shaking my head.
I'm on the spectrum.
You are on the spectrum, aren't you?
I probably am on the spectrum, and I'm a little sensitive about that, sir. No, I'm courageous for still working, even though
blah,
I'm on
blah,
the spectrum.
Blah, 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 blah.
You have?
That is the most insensitive thing.
Man.
But I do have the handicap placard now, so I get to park a little bit closer.
How?
I'm on the spectrum. So...
You know, I'm and proud.
You
get
to go to the you front. Remember, okay, I just watched the line.
I just watched the Curb Your Enthusiasm. Monty's spot.
Yeah. I just watched the Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry is offended because there's a guy who parks in handicapped parking. And he gets out and he's walking fine. Larry's like, "What's the deal? Why are you get a?" And the guy has a stutter.
Yeah,
that's right.
He yells back at Larry. He's disabled because he has a stutter.
That's what Gordo did in his vacation, by the way. Watch Curb and Friends.
And Friends, okay. Yeah.
Sounds kick ass.
Mm-hmm. Right. Got caught up. Caught up.
Caught up.
Did you finish Friends?
I couldn't, man. That is not a good show.
That's what I've been trying to say.
Well, why'd you watch it?
Because I wanted to watch the original show.
Shut up.
Friends in New York that are young and single. And
so realistic.
Yeah, it's real. It's realistic.
Well, since
then,
they copied Living Single, I'll give you all five seasons of that.
This is Donnie's big claim.
It's not a big claim. It's the truth. Look at the original start dates and see which program came out first.
It's the same as like Elvis was like the original rhythm and blues guy, and Donnie can't handle that either.
Oh, my gosh. Man, look at that show there on Fox with all the black people. We could do the same thing.
No, it's not the way
and
it happened.
Ours is going to be better.
No, not the way it happened.
And it wasn't. That's exactly what happened.
Uh-uh.
We need our own Queen Latifah and Kim Fields. I know. Copycatters.
All right, did you have a crush on Kim Fields?
Heck yeah, who didn't?
Was she Tootie?
Yeah, that nickname kind of ruined it for
you. She was first
you just wondered
in
what,
Good
what
Times
happened.
As a very, very small actress. And then she was on Facts of Life. Hmm. She was one of the kids that was in school with Penny, who was Janet Jackson, who was on
Good Times. I had a huge crush
on Janet Jackson.
Was
on Different Strokes as Willis's girlfriend.
Wow, really?
Oh, you guys are learning all kind of black history facts.
Are.
It's not even February.
That's great.
Black history.
Great.
It's almost all February. Not even February. This is awesome. I'll teach class again tomorrow
around this time.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Let's have some more fun facts with Donovan. It's 2:50. It's the sweet spot. Why Today Doesn't Suck is next.